CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. All right, here we are, and it is Monday. Why did I say it's Monday rather than just Monday? So I was in here last night getting ready for the show this morning, and I thought, okay, this is not so bad. It's definitely spring's on the way. I was wearing a T-shirt. I didn't even have a top on. I was like, this isn't so cold. And then this morning, out of bed, and you're like, this thing is biting you. It's like, the hell is that? It's like a cold snap from hell, or rather from somewhere colder than hell, but there we go. So this morning, we've got Mash, we've got Ass, we've got Gareth, we've got you, we've got the whole thing. Dr. Hanan, we've got Collector Mania. It's a busy Monday for us this morning, so I hope you're ready for it. How's everybody? Am I the only one who's noticed that it's extra cold this morning? And I know it's boring to talk about the weather, but it's kind of a thing. It is a thing at this time of year.
I'm just remembering last week, a week ago, or was it Friday, you said, yeah, no, I think the worst of it's definitely over. So this is your fault, you know.
You're going to blame me.
I hope you realize that.
You're going to blame me? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, I'll take it.
It does feel like the worst of it is over because it actually does feel much warmer here.
Well, maybe it's just my house then. The gods of the cold have come to punish me for something. Maybe I've done something wrong. I'm willing to accept that. That may be it. I mean, it's perfectly acceptable as an excuse, you know?
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened.
Absolutely.
So, how was the weekend, everybody? What did you get up to? Mash, anything fun?
Ooh, okay, so Friday.
There we go.
Yeah, there's always.
Let me give you guys the rundown.
How many dates? First of all, because we've got to still talk to Dr. Hanan about your compulsive dating, which I think is a problem.
Okay, this weekend was very light. It was just 2 days. Very light weekend.
Just two, huh?
Okay. Yeah, just two. So I kept it very light this weekend.
Right.
But Friday, I actually went clubbing for the first time in a long time. And.
Okay.
It was so much fun. And you know, the thing with clubbing sometimes is that you sometimes run into people you know. And yeah, I was clubbing. It was lots of fun.
Uh-huh.
I was out with Simpiwe.
And
yeah, I was out with Simpiwe and Aaron. And then we just ended up running into everyone else from the office, which was very odd.
Like, who else did you see?
That everyone. I ended up seeing Ryan and Michael as well.
Where were you guys?
From the office. We were just here in Sunning Hill, actually, just up the road.
There was
an event going on there. And then somehow everyone, I don't know if it's the gods or what, but somehow we all ended up at the same place at the same time. Which was really
well, that is cool. I mean, listen.
All drunk.
Everybody drunk. Yeah. So not very different to when you were at the office. That's great.
But we were very productive, so I think getting drunk at the office should be a must going forward.
Oh, really? What did you go? You guys come up with some ideas and shit? I mean, like, what do you mean productive?
We were just coming up with ideas that most of which I can't even remember.
Yeah, that's
the
problem.
We were just like, yeah, you know, we must do this as well. We must do that. And then we're just dancing and getting down. It was so much fun. We're just dipping and doing it and just having fun. But end of the night, I can't remember a single thing. Well, I can't remember a single thing.
That's how you know you had a good night, but it's also how, you know, it stands to reason that if you think you're going to come up with something really brilliant when you're drunk, you will, but then you'll never remember what it was the next day. So there's no point in, you know, there's no point in trying.
So
do you get up to anything, Leanne? I know you went large and you were clubbing, right?
My hips hurt at the mere thought.
Oh, God. You've decided to be old, haven't you?
No, it's just kind of happened, but old.
It's a decision. You don't go out anymore.
Young.
You don't go out anymore. You don't do that.
No, I don't go out to jaw, you know. If I do go out, it's to see friends and family. Like yesterday, I spent time with family. So that was pretty cool. And there were three toddlers around.
Ooh.
And it's always interesting to see what parents are coming up with these days to keep them entertained so that you can at least have a meal or an adult conversation.
Three toddlers is too many. Like you can handle two toddlers with an army of people to help you. You can handle one toddler if it's you and your own. But if you've got three, you need everyone on earth to help. Otherwise, it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. The one is a set of twins.
Oh my God.
But anyway, so the three of them were on the sofa, quiet as anything, and yep. I went in to go and see what they were watching. And parents all over will know who this is. I had no idea, so I'm keeping up with the trends.
Okay.
But his name is Blippi, B-L-I-P-P-I.
Blippi?
What's that?
Yes. It's not an animation. It's a proper man. He's in his 30s. He's 34 years old. His real name is Stephen John.
All right.
And he's not on any of the television channels or networks.
Yeah.
He started off on all of the social media platforms, so it's basically YouTube that's keeping him going. He's built up this brand for himself. So basically it's mainly him, but for 2 hours at a time in this big warehouse of toys and slides and, you know, those ball pits. And all he does is run around like crazy playing with these toys and talking to camera and saying, you know, look, I found a truck and this is what a truck does. And garbage collection day. And it's like, you know, a little bit educational as well. But he's got like a bright orange bow tie, orange suspenders. What are they called?
Yeah, like suspenders, braces, you know,
suspenders.
Braces, yeah. And wears this like hat and just goes crazy on this floor. I don't know how he keeps his energy up, but the kids are absolutely mesmerized. It's unbelievable. I then do a little bit of research.
Because I've never heard of this guy. I always wonder about child entertainers. You know, I'm always like a little bit suspicious of people who entertain children.
No, I mean, he turns out to be a pretty normal guy. Well, he just had a baby himself.
No, I got you. But I'm thinking of like Jimmy Savile in the UK, and everybody thought he was such a great entertainer for children. Ends up he was like a monster pedophile, like the worst kind. Yeah. I'm not saying that's true for Blippi, but like you have to have either an incredible talent for dealing with kids that you would, and sounds like this guy does, or you're just a creep.
Yeah.
You know?
My mind went straight there, obviously.
Yeah.
I said, my question was, how much does he like children? you know?
That's so gross.
But no, he's like legit in my eyes now after watching him for a while. Turns out that he recently sold the Blippi brand, the whole idea, the show, the toys, because of course it's merch.
Yeah.
He sold everything for.
Go on.
Over $3 billion.
Ah,
yes, that's nice.
$3 billion.
Yeah, I'd put stupid kids shows together.
Right. Moonbug Entertainment.
I'd put sock puppets on my hands for 3 hours a day if that's what it took.
I'll put on an orange wig if that's what it took.
Sure.
Wow.
I mean, at one point he took his shoes off and he went one shoe off and another shoe off. That's how I get undressed.
Yeah, that's you every day.
There was a video.
One shoe that's off, put another shoe off. I've heard you do
that's
that.
That's how you get undressed.
Yeah, that's how I go about my daily things. I'm like, brush my teeth, wash my hair, do this. You know, if I was just slightly more animated and possibly had some help by way of chemical stimulants, I could do this.
Yeah, I think if we just put you on coke, you could do this easily. This would be your thing, right?
But yeah, this guy's a huge success, and I'm wildly jealous. And
that's brilliant.
It's a missed opportunity for a lot of people.
What a guy!
Just amazing.
So, Mash, was that one of the ideas you came up with while you guys were drunk on Saturday that you should be doing like children's programming?
I wish that was one of the ideas. I straight up wish that was one of the ideas. But I mean, geez. Apart from getting drunk, though, I was also around quite a number of kids. I was at a family friend's kid's birthday party yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a three-year-old's birthday party. The child was turning three.
Yeah.
So just kids galore. Kids galore. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I
was this when you were hungover?
No, I don't get hungover.
Well, oh. I mean, if you've been
I'm more jealous of you or Blippi.
Yeah, hold on. If you've been out drinking the night before and then you get to a kid's thing, even if you don't think you're hungover and you don't get hungover, well, I mean, if there's screaming kids around, you watch how quickly that hangover comes.
Oh, yeah. I was just, as soon as I got there, I was like, you guys have
those
wine?
Those two things don't make sense.
Yes, we have a bottle of wine.
I often think about parents. Like, I've got friends who, they're fun people. They don't, just because they've had kids doesn't mean they don't do anything, right? And they will, they'll party with me one night, and the next day they've got, like, a kid's birthday or something. I always think, oh, well, that is going to be the worst. Because for them, can you imagine waking up and then, your kid wakes you up for starters, saying, "Mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, I need to go outside. We need to do this. We want to do this. We want to do that." You think, "Oh my God, this is horrible." Can you imagine putting up with that every day?
Can't be my life at all. So I just got absolutely sloshed at this kid's birthday party, and then immediately after, I was just like, "Let me go home."
It was a
fun weekend.
These children are like, "What's wrong with that uncle over there? He's falling down."
And surprisingly, tipsy me was actually having the most fun I've ever had in a while at this birthday party. I was playing cricket with these kids. I was on the trampoline. I was just doing backflips and somersaults and all kinds of things. The kids loved me. But sober me would have just been like, get your kids away from me.
Right.
Now. I ain't got no kids on my own.
Well, I didn't have any of that fun over the weekend. I was totally chilled at home. I hardly did.
Oh.
And yeah, it was like one of the quietest weekends. You remember when we first had, like when lockdown was first announced, that first weekend in, I think it was March of 2020. And I probably spent only the first, maybe the second weekend, I actually spent at home, kind of doing nothing with nobody around. Because even though we weren't allowed after that, I just broke the rules every weekend after that. I could give a shit. But for those first two weekends, that was probably the most quiet I've been over a weekend for my entire adult life. And I felt like this weekend that I just had now was pretty much the closest to that. I spent the weekend sorting things out, tidying up files, doing like all this admin shit.
Of course, but
you know I love that, right? And there's never... There's never a level of organized I can get to that's enough. You know, there's always more. You can always get things even more organized. You can always be more tidy. You can always be more, arranged carefully and with everything in its place and a place for everything. So Saturday was, like, the weirdest thing because I had three or four people calling me, like, "Where are you? Come. We're doing this or we're doing that. Why don't you come and join us?" I was like, "No, thank you. I'm not interested." I was, like, busy sorting things out, and I had the puppy here, who is getting bigger and bigger.
Like Alice.
Yeah, little Alice is getting bigger and bigger. And we were just doing stuff around the house, moving things around. I did have guys arrive early on Saturday morning, which is another reason I didn't go out or do anything. I had a bunch of guys arrive on Saturday morning to, like, trim a whole lot of trees, tree fellers. Mm-hmm. They came to, like, cut down branches and tidy up the outside of the house because there are all these trees that are just overgrown. You know, I've got to say, for anyone who's moving into a new place and maybe if you're even building, do not plant too many trees because I've been in this house for, 12 years maybe? And those trees are so big now that, you know, they lean over the neighbor's garden and they – I mean, now that they don't have leaves, you can see how big they are, just the actual shape of the tree. And if you don't keep these things tidy and organized, you don't do something about them, they become a real menace. And they're like, they'll move roof tiles when there's wind and they'll do all kinds of things. So you have to look after them. And it was, they brought chainsaws and ladders. And I watched these guys, the guy who did it, I saw a sign up on the side of the road the one day, tree felling with his number. So I called him, his name is Gift and he's from Zim. And he's got like a team of four guys who work with him. And they did it all in 2-3 hours. Put everything on this truck of his. There was no mess. Tidied it. But you see how high they climbed up on these ladders. And then they get up and they cut the tree from above them. It's unbelievable to see. It's like, it's a skill. Wow. It's such an incredible skill. And I kept thinking, oh God, please don't fall off the ladders because you're so high up, I don't want to be hiding a body on a Saturday morning at like 10 o'clock. But it's amazing what they do. So it was a busy it was a busy weekend from that point of view, but no, none of the usual like fun partying, being with friends.
Social stuff.
Yeah, yeah. None of that stuff happened.
Yeah.
But it was good though.
Oh, jeez. But no. Yo, I do not want to see another tree. I do not want to see a tree for at least the next month at this point.
You hate trees.
Because I hate trees at this current moment because I also went hiking yesterday on Sunday and I got lost. So I spent 3 hours of my life just walking in circles and it was just terrible.
Where were you?
Hang on a second. This happened to Sia. Remember when Sia Sangweni went to, I think he went to the Botanical Gardens.
Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, that's right. At what's the place called?
There in the one above like
the West Rand. No, in the West Rand. It's like out towards Krugersdorp, but somewhere there. He went to those botanical gardens and he got lost. And it took him like 3 hours of walking around in circles before he eventually found his way. And his phone had, I can't remember if he didn't know how to read the maps on his phone or if he just forgot to charge his phone properly because he couldn't use that either. So he was like an idiot, like you, Mash, walking around trying to find people. Or where did you get lost?
I went to Lone Hill. There is some hiking spot in Lone Hill.
Yeah.
With like some huge hill, and then there's like rocks on the hill.
Dude.
And
how could you get lost there? You could see all the way around if you climb up that hill.
Problem is, so when you get to the hiking spot, it's first of all a park. So you're introduced to a little park there, get to the park, and it's just dogs everywhere. So people are just walking their dogs, playing with their dogs. Awesome. So we start walking uphill, assuming, well, obviously, uphill. Uphill is the way of the hiking route. We end up at some church, and at this point, we've been walking for about 30 minutes. And we're kind of hungry. So we're like, oh, you guys are making hot dogs at this church. Can you have some hot dogs? They're like, okay, cool. So we have a little.
You climbed into the church so hot dogs. Some... Wow.
Yes. We got some hot dogs at the church. And then we're like, where's the hiking route? They're like, no, it's the opposite direction. And we're like, okay, cool. So let's go the opposite direction. We go the opposite direction. Next thing you know, we're crossing a main road and we're not even in the park anymore, but we just keep going. And we're actually following some family. There was a family ahead of us and we're actually following this family because we're thinking, yeah, they have like two kids and they're all walking together. And they must be also heading to a hiking spot because like one of them had a backpack and I saw them pull out water out of that. So I was like, oh yeah, they must be going to the hiking spot. So let's just follow them. So we walk behind this family all the way for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We're walking behind this family. This family was walking home. And I just followed them home.
Now you're following them home.
Probably wondering who these two freaks were that were following them.
We followed these people home. And then at this point, we're just like, you know what? We've been walking for about an hour now. We need to at least find some sort of hiking spot. So we just see some bush and now we just walk into some bush because we're like, we just need some nature at this point. So walk into some bush and we end up by some tombstones, like a cemetery with like just three graves. And at this point was when I was like, yeah, I think we should go home at this point because this is getting kind of freaky. This is getting a bit too freaky for me. So we just ended up going back.
So I got a friend who, she goes up that hill at Lone Hill all the time. And she said that those graves are actually, so that the original farm that used to be there was, there was this family and they actually got buried in that little cemetery. So that's them that you would have found. But I really don't understand. It's not like the biggest park ever, Mash. How the hell did you get so confused in such a small space? That's even worse than Sears. At least at the Botanical Gardens, it's big.
The thing is, this place is so busy and there is no fingerboards. That was my biggest problem. I'm used to actually having fingerboards directing me, like, that way is the park, that way is the restaurants, that way is the hiking trail. There was nothing. There was absolutely
nothing.
But
what about using your phone?
No, you're an idiot. Like, I can't believe.
My phone didn't
and also,
help.
You're high up, so you should be able to see around. You should be able to, like, you obviously are not the kind of person. You're like, there's some people I know who just have no sense of direction. You can show them, you go this way, and they're like, what, where? They're not observant of, like, landmarks or any of that stuff. When I walk or drive or park or anything, I always look at what's around me, and then I go, okay, I can see that from here, I can see that from here, that's obviously in that direction. Then I don't get lost, but you clearly weren't looking at any of that shit.
It was hard to see around, in my defense. So once I got to the cemetery, we actually looked back and we're like, there's the hill over there. We can actually see it now.
Yeah, well.
But at this point, the hill looks like it's about 10 kilometers away. So we're like, let's just go home. This is not going to work. So we just grabbed a coffee and went home.
Well, that one lone hill in Lone Hill.
I know. It's not like there are 10 lone hills. You know, it's called Lone Hill. Carl says, by the way, Leanne, to your point about Blippi, when my kids watch Blippi, I want to punch the fucking TV. He says, it's so annoying.
It is incredibly annoying, but very effective.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I can't believe I've never heard of this Blippi because, okay, one kid's show that I always hear about is Cocomelon. That, geez, I hear about
what?
That a lot.
Yeah, Cocomelon's a biggie.
See, now, I really haven't, I've lost touch again. With my nephews when they were little, I kind of understood some of this stuff. Like, I knew about Paw Patrol and that kind of stuff, but now I know nothing. Mm. Now I'm totally out of my depth. I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Ruth says she went to a kid's birthday this weekend and went through 2 bottles of wine. Sure, what a party. Well, isn't that why so many mums do drink wine? It's the only way to deal with all the screaming and, you know.
Yeah, and a kid's birthday party, if the kid is under 5, I would say, it's not about the kids. It's about the parents. The parents just want to hang out, let loose, drink some wine, knowing full well that their kids are all there babysitting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mash, Basitsana says that that trail that you were on is closed until September. So you obviously went on a trail that was also closed to the public. I don't know how the hell you got there, but well done.
I don't know how I got there, too, because on Google Maps it said it's open.
Well... Now you know.
So,
now you
the
know.
The one time you did use Google Maps.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't know how to use Google Maps, but clearly, you know, Google Maps is also wrong in terms of what the information is. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what you managed to squeeze in 2 dates. You had a big party night. You had a kid's party. And you went hiking all in one weekend. And all I did was stay at home. I feel like such a loser.
No. But, man, what did you do, Leanne?
What did Leanne do?
Time to hand over the busyness cup to the youth of today. You know?
The youth.
So.
Yeah, no, yeah. Besides the family meeting with the toddlers, no, I caught up on some work. I got called out for missing some deadlines.
Uh-oh.
So now I'm keeping track of absolutely everything I do in order to redeem myself.
Oh, no. Right. Are you doing timesheets?
I've got doing timesheets and saying, okay, this was due on this date and delivered on this date.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've calculated if it was 6 days early, 6 hours early to try and get a good track record going. So I was a good girl and did some work on that.
I did find something while I was cleaning up and tidying up and everything. I found my first ever iPod. Look at this. Look at this.
Wow.
I found my first iPod. It was one of those. It was the U2 iPod, which they all on the back they all signed it, and like it had some of their songs that preloaded that you could kind of. You couldn't delete, which was annoying. But it was so cool because it was red and black. And all the other iPods were like white and silver or something. So I thought this was the coolest thing when I had it. This must have been, 2004? Somewhere around there? That's how old that piece of technology is. And I didn't even try, but I suppose I should plug it in to see if it can charge. I wonder if it even works.
Please do.
I wonder if I go on there, what I'll find in terms of, like, the playlist. Because, obviously, it's very, very rudimentary technology. So you couldn't load pictures or anything else on there. It was just songs. and they were in like, I think, MP3 format. But I wonder how many songs I've got in there, and it would be like a bit of a time capsule going back in time to look at, because I'd find the songs that I was into in 2004. I wonder what that would tell me.
It was also your DJ days, wasn't it?
I think that might even have just been before, but I didn't use that. Yeah, I didn't. I wouldn't have used that then, because there was no way to play off of it to, you know, like, not the equipment that they had in clubs and things didn't include like aux cables and shit. It was all, it was really old technology by comparison with what we've got now.
Wow. I've actually been watching an iPod.
We're just going to climb into you again here, Mash. Sanette says, that was idiotic, Mash. How do you get lost in Lone Hill? And taking advice from church folk was even more foolish. What do you want an iPod for?
So for gym specifically, reason being, using a cell phone can get a bit distracting, especially when you're gymming, because while you're busy working out, you get notifications and you kind of want to look at them. So sometimes on the treadmill, just busy running, jamming to your music, and you just want to look at the phone every now and then. So that does get really distracting. So having an iPod, no notifications, just the music. That's why I want one.
That's the reason why I don't run. I just got so distracted.
That's the reason.
I couldn't take it anymore.
Of course. What a lot of crap. No, listen, I mean, don't you guys know about these different... There's a new feature. You're an iPhone too. There's a feature called Focus, which is actually quite useful. Mm. I find it useful.
I use Focus quite a lot.
Oh, you do? So you figured out Focus exists, but you still don't know how to use it from the point of view of, like, stopping yourself from being distracted.
Yeah, problem with me is I always check because I always feel like I'm disconnected. I'm used to my phone, which is buzzing like crazy. So when it's quiet, I'm like, something's wrong. Something is wrong. I need to check this phone.
The problem
right
is not
so
the phone, Mash. I hate to tell you, it's you. You are the problem, not the phone.
Hence, I need an iPod.
I don't know that another piece of...
I think you're looking for a solution.
Yeah, another piece of technology, not the solution you're looking for. I think you're looking for a much simpler solution, which is how to get your brain to not focus on your phone being with you all the time. I actually didn't have my phone with me the whole day yesterday, pretty much. I mean, from, you know, I checked it after I got out of the shower yesterday morning, and then bugger all until the evening. And I didn't have that many notifications. So either I'm not that popular, which is fine, or I just stopped caring about the phone yesterday, which is also fine. So it's good to do these little detoxes from time to time. You know, we've talked about it a million times over on the show. If you are always connected to your phone and people can always get hold of you, it's not a good thing. It's bad for your overall, like, sanity, but it's also, it proves that you have a connection there that you actually can't get out, you know, you can't get out of. It's probably not good for you in the long run. Need to be able to figure these things
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
All right. So many things to talk about today, and we've got to get to all of those. Listen to what Audrey did. This is cool. She says, something I haven't done in years. I went to the movies. I saw Elvis, and straight after that, I watched Top Gun. Ooh. Apparently this Elvis movie is awesome.
Was it like a documentary?
No. It's like the story of Elvis's life. They've never made a movie. You know how they made the Queen movie and everything else two, 3 years ago, they made the movie about, who else did they do recently in terms of movies? Elton John. And now they've done this one with Elvis, and apparently it's brilliant. And the guy who plays Elvis, I can't remember his name, apparently he's terrific as well, so must check that out. That's something I would go and see at the theater. That would be cool.
There's actually lots of nice movies out there at the moment. It's like movie season right now.
Mm. No, there's a lot going on. All right, so people are saying good film choice for Audrey. Well, she saw two in a row. Now, I haven't done that for ages, going to see like a
I've never done that.
I mean, that. I think I maybe did it when I was a kid, and that's it. But that is awesome. Yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. Top Gun Maverick.
Sounds like so much fun.
Leanne, the follow-up of the original. You knew that, though. I've still got to go and see that. I feel bad that I haven't, because I was so excited when it came out, and I just kind of let it slide. All right, couple of headlines before we get to Dr. Hanan for the morning. Some things that You think we're just talking nonsense, but here it is. Brr, it is snowing over parts of South Africa. So I wasn't making this up, and I wasn't being boring talking about the weather. This is actually in the news. So the Drakensberg resembled a winter wonderland over the weekend. Sunday morning, as snow fell in some parts. According to some reports, snow has fallen over the southern Drakensberg and areas like Kokstad. A snow report predicted earlier in the week that snowfall was expected in KZN, Eastern Cape, and Lesotho. Low-level snow at levels reachable by ordinary vehicles is a possibility in some areas. In the Eastern Cape, a little over 10 centimeters of snow is possible on the high mountain passes near Tiffendel and the Barkley Pass. Snowfalls are also possible at higher elevations in the southern Drakensberg. In the Western Cape, a light dusting of snow is possible on the Swartberg Range near Ladysmith, Oudtshoorn, and De Rust. So there we go. See? Now you know.
Wow.
Bit of snow over the weekend.
I saw on WhatsApp statuses, one of my friends was actually snowboarding this weekend.
Oh.
And I thought he's actually overseas. I was like, what country is this? And then he showed a picture of himself by some board, and it said Lesotho.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Well, I got into an argument, and I got into a lot of trouble the other day for saying nobody cares about women's soccer, and they don't. I mean, for example, did you guys know that we'd won the AFCON Cup?
Yes, I watched it.
Yes, I knew. Oh,
you knew and you watched it. All right, so I'm embarrassed because then you both have proven me wrong. But I'm not that embarrassed.
It was such a proud moment.
Okay, if you say so.
It was such a proud moment.
All right, if you say so.
Because, I mean, so this past weekend, Banyana Banyana actually broke their long-standing curse, because it was actually their sixth attempt to win the 2022 Women's Cup of Nations.
Yep.
And after edging the host nation, Morocco, 2-1 on the Prince Mauli, what's it called, Abdullah Stadium on Saturday, three goals were scored and in the second half with Hilda Makhawa.
You're reading this. Netting, you didn't watch. You didn't watch. I don't believe a fucking word.
I did watch.
I don't believe it.
I just don't
you're reading
name.
This. You're like, and they edged Morocco out. It sounds like you're doing a sports report on the news. You're reading this straight off the internet. You didn't watch any of it. You don't know one Banyana player's name, do you? No, you don't. Leanne, what's the coach's name, Leanne? Here she is. I'll show you a picture to make it easier for you. There's the coach. What's her name?
I don't know, but she looks. I don't want to get on the wrong side of her. Hey,
you don't
I'll
know.
I'll do anything she
you
says.
You guys are so full of shit. It's like I think it was LeBang when I brought this up last Tuesday, and she's like, "No, no, no, they're fantastic," and I watched them, and I'm like, "Yeah, really? Name one player." She couldn't.
I said, no, I didn't watch.
I said, "Who did they play last night, LeBang?" I said, "Who did they play last night, LeBang?" She's like, all of you are saying that you, because you know that you've got to be politically correct and you've got to say you watch women's soccer, but actually none of you are. You didn't watch the game. Mash, you didn't watch it. Don't talk shit. Leanne, you didn't watch it.
No, I never said I watched it. I just knew it was going on.
You knew it was going on.
Yeah. Ramaphosa's message to them of good luck.
Oh, you saw his message. So, that's even more boring than watching women's soccer, listening to the president's message for the women's soccer team. I mean, you guys are just going to stop it. Everybody I ask, like, oh, did you watch the Banyana game? They're like, yeah, because there's so much pressure. Everybody's like, yes, of course I watched it. And then when you ask them one question about it, they're like, no. So this is Desiree Ellis. She's the coach. She's very excited. And rightly so. I mean, they've been working hard at this for a long time, and nobody cares, which makes it even harder. Coach Desiree Ellis said they were overjoyed that they put smiles on people's faces. Whose? Like the family who were there to watch, because no one else was there to watch. The stadium was empty Saturday night. Hilda Magaya's brace was enough to secure Banyana their first title after being runner-up five times in the past as they beat Morocco 2-1. But then you already heard that from Mash when he was reading off the website. They're going to get a 400,000 rand reward per person for having reached the AFCON and the end of the rainbow, and thanked everyone who stood by. Well, that's all right. That's a good payday. If you know what, they should be happy with that. Frankly, it doesn't matter if people like me don't watch. You got 400,000 rand each. Great. That's a nice payday. That's worth it.
Fantastic.
And it's about time, because we always hear stories about Banyana Banyana not having funding.
Yeah, go for it. I'm happy that they actually got paid. That's very good news. So well done to Banyana Banyana, despite the fact that I have not watched and I will never watch. And I'm not going to lie about it like Mash and Leanne do, because that's just not what I do.
Tony didn't lie.
They lied. They both lied. It's fine. Then there's a Pretoria guy who won the 99 million rand Powerball jackpot. 99 million.
I saw this.
Rand.
He tweeted it.
Yep. A winner on Tuesday night.
Why did he tweet it? That's
has
sad.
Stepped forward to collect his winnings. He spent 150 rand on the winning ticket and opted for a manual selection method. According to a statement released by the National Lottery operator, the winner used the FNB app to play the game. So that's great news. He says he has no plans to change his lifestyle. Everything will still be normal. Perhaps I may just buy a car and a house. Nice. This guy's sharp. This is a sharp human being.
He must have played a lot. He must have actually played a lot as well, because I do play Powerball on the FNB app too every now and then. And it's like 5 rand per draw. So how many times did he play to spend 150 rand? Jeez.
Listen, if you think about it, 150 rand, if he played that every week, is the odds are, you know, tiny. But this is a good payback, 99 million rand. I think that's so good.
It's a very good payback.
Good for him. Cool. How awesome. All right, so well done to this dude. He's obviously trying to remain anonymous. You say he tweeted, but did he tweet his identity? So everybody knows who he is?
He just tweeted that I just won 99. Wow. He said I just won 99 million rand.
Okay, well they don't give
this
his
the wrong way to go about it.
They don't give his name in the article, but you know what? If you say he tweeted, then
he gave himself away. Yeah, so I'll be dealing him.
That's not clever.
I was watching I think it was a guy in the UK who actually specializes in consulting with lotto winners once they've won. And giving them the guidance, and you know, you need to have a bit of a chat about try and be sensible. And he said the first thing you do is you go to a lawyer and you decide how much you're going to say you won to friends and family. And that amount must be what you are willing to spend on friends and family.
Oof.
Because people will expect you to help them if they're in a difficult situation. So, yeah, about exactly what to do with that money. You decide all of that before you tell anyone. It sounds better than just tweeting that I won 99 million.
So, in other words, I mean, that's a very good point because, you know, some people say, oh, well, I won't give any of this away. Here's the problem is when someone else is in trouble, they're going to ask you for money. And then you can't say you don't have it because they know how much you won.
So and they'll get mad at you if you say anything apart from yes.
And I don't even know if you should tell people you won 1 million rand. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot compared to 99 million rand. But if people know you've won 1 million, then they'll still think they can borrow off of you.
Yeah.
So just
if you won 99 million, people want 1 million each.
Exactly. Don't tell anyone anything. Gareth, don't be embarrassed, says Sanele. You were right. No one cares about women's football. I don't care about anything related to the useless Safa. Unlike Mash and Ass, I know that the coach used to be the captain. Okay, well, there you go. You've taught us all something, Sanele. Well done. All right, very good. He not only won 99 million, but he has discovered that he also has 99 million new long-lost family members. That's exactly right.
And I'm one of them.
Yeah, right, exactly. Pumlani says you tell them you won 100 rand. Yeah, that's true. I don't understand why anyone says anything about this stuff. It's got to be the most awesome secret to keep because it's a great secret. It's not you know, there's some secrets people want you to keep, like, oh, I cheated on this husband of mine or whatever. Those are not nice secrets to keep. No one wants to keep those. But if you can keep the lotto secret, that's worth doing. I like that a lot. All right, so it's time to check in with Dr. Hanan. It's going to be okay. We do this on a Monday morning. He's a renowned psychologist. Mm-hmm. He's also the head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Joburg. He's it's live-in shrink. And Nicola got in touch with us this week, and she's going to join us today on the line to talk to Dr. Hanan. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm well. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Busy week ahead?
Always crazy, and it seems to be quite cold. It's going to be quite cold this week.
Now, are you doing
so busy and cold?
You're doing in person sessions. So, you seeing all of your clients in person again?
Yes, for sure. So ever since the lifting of all the restrictions, everybody feels comfortable. It's funny, people now are into shaking hands. Mm. It's no longer taboo to shaking hands and hugs. Seems like we've gone back to the new normal.
That is good because that's what people like, a bit of real interaction.
For sure. I haven't shaken hands with people in 2 years, so now people are kind of returning back to that, which is actually very, very nice to see.
I know. I love it. All right. So, Doc, I'm going to put Nicola on. She is keeping a camera off, but she's got a story to tell you, and she needs some advice. This is a pretty wild story. So, Nicola, welcome. It's nice to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Hello. Nice to meet you all.
Very good to have you here.
This morning.
Good. Okay. So, Nicola, I'm going to let you talk to Doc, and you explain your story to him.
Okay. Is it okay if I sort of just read the long email that
I've
written about it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because you thought it through on the email. You read it to us, but we want to hear it in your voice.
Okay. So I was in a relationship with a young man I had met at church. We dated for 3 months, and during that time, he had convinced me that we were pursuing marriage. We got along very well, and within the first 3 weeks of knowing each other, we got into a romantic relationship. He played the role of a Christian man so well, and I believe that his intentions were pure. I ended up getting sexually involved with him. It later came to light that he was sleeping with 3 other girls that I know of, and he gave all 4 of us an STI. He also forced 1 of the girls to abort his child, and then lied to us about the exact same things. He even lied about the most insignificant things and told elaborate stories about his life. And then during the course of the relationship, he always made me feel inferior. He would insult my intelligence and make snide comments about the things that I love or find interesting. He once made up a lie about an older woman in the church that I'm close with and said that she had told him that he should go find himself a more biblically inclined woman. He then proceeded to watch me cry about something he made up. It was confusing because there were times when he was really affectionate and loving, and then the other times it's like the complete opposite. When I confronted him about what I had found out, which at the time was only of 1 girl, all he said was, "It is what it is. What do you want me to say? Do you want me to cry and get down on my knees? Is it going to make you feel better if I do?" And I was obviously really shocked because I don't know how normal people don't really behave like this. And then, he had no shame, no remorse, nothing. Like, there was just absolutely no guilt. And then he left me and he went back to the other girl who I, by the way, tried to help because she got in contact with me because one of my friends had contacted her over social media and told her if she knew about me. And according to her, he lied to her and said that I'm his best friend or something like that. And so, I'm still dealing with the trauma of what happened. And I find it difficult to process that I'd not only been rejected, but used physically and emotionally. I also had to deal with the humiliation of getting an STI from the only person I've ever been intimate with. It's been about 5 months since everything happened, but I still find myself getting upset when I think about it. I seem to especially become distraught when I'm alone. How can I sort of detach myself from this person and the situation, accept my misfortune, and then learn to trust people in the future again?
Right.
That's really what I need help with.
Okay. So, Nicola, how long ago was this relationship? When did this end?
It ended in around February this year.
Around February this year.
Yeah.
And have you been in touch since?
No, not at all.
Have you been on his social media? Have you checked him out? Have you asked about him? Have you spoken about him?
Well, here's the crazy thing is that I live in a different town because I moved away in January. But where I had lived before at my mom's place, he moved this girl into that area. So sometimes when I come home to visit, I unfortunately see them together. So mm-hmm. That's kind of annoying.
Okay, so I want to mention a couple of things. First of all, you said that you feel bad because he rejected you.
Yeah, I do.
I want to ask you something. What was your goal of getting into any relationship? What was the long-term goal?
The long-term goal is obviously marriage because of my religious beliefs.
And, okay, but marriage with what substance? Just marriage to anybody? Was that the goal, just marriage?
No, just married to a decent person that can provide sort of a healthy household.
Okay, so let me just double-click on that. So you wanted a marriage with a healthy person, and that means good communication, honesty, yeah, transparency, consistency, somebody that's able to compromise where there's attraction and intimacy, and somebody that shares the same values as you, somebody that makes you feel desired consistently, not as a fake, but as a way of life, right?
Yes, yes.
Good. Okay, let me give you an analogy. Now, imagine you're going to buy a car. And the aim of the car, the aim of purchasing this car is to get from Joburg to Cape Town. Now, as you're about to purchase the car, you realize that the car's missing three tires. And now the car's no longer for sale. Is that a good or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing because you couldn't use a car, right? You couldn't use the car anymore. Yeah. You couldn't use the car, right? So again, the analogy is, imagine you're about to buy a car. You're about to go from Joburg to Cape Town, and just before you're about to buy the car, you realize that the car is missing three tires and it's no longer for sale. You would go, well, it's not a loss. Thank God, because I could never get it to Cape Town. I could never get to my intended goal using this car. Now, your aim was not marriage. Let's just unpack that. Your aim was not marriage. Your aim was marriage to somebody that carries and has the same and shared values as you do. Does this guy have the same values as you do?
I mean, it seemed like he did initially. He sort of...
No, does he? But does he? I know on the surface for the first 3 minutes, I know that. But does he?
Clearly not from his actions. I would imagine that he doesn't.
Well, I want to tell you something. The fact that you're hesitant that, in answering the question, and you're not adamant and immediately answering the question as absolutely shares... He doesn't share the same values as me. Absolutely he's a pig. Absolutely he's not the one for me. Tells me that he has twisted your view and your perception of what he's really like, because what you're doing is you're marrying the good in him and you're just ignoring the bad that he was. But as a package deal, and I'll give you another analogy. Imagine I give you, what's your favorite food?
Pasta. I guess.
Pasta. What's the worst thing that you would never eat in a million years? What's the worst thing that you would never eat in a billion years?
Can it be like, I don't know, like a
anything.
Snake, I guess.
Okay, snake. So, okay. Oh, fine. Okay, so let's now take the most beautiful pasta, your favorite pasta, and I mix it in with some chopped up snake. Just a little bit of it. And I mix it in there. Would you eat it?
I don't think so, if I could identify the snake in
it. No, you could identify the snake. The snake is there. Would you eat it?
No.
Right, but why? It's got beautiful pasta. Because as a combination, it doesn't work. As a combo, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It would ruin it.
Yeah. Now, I want to tell you something. This guy that you're talking about, he's got some pasta in him. There's some good parts there. But there's snake too, in the literal sense as well. There's some snake too. And as a combo, it doesn't work. You can't separate the two. And what I advise you to do is stop marrying and stop focusing on only the good that was there, but start focusing on the package deal as a whole. And as a whole, could this be the man that carried you into marriage, but into the true definition of marriage?
I don't think so. I really don't.
Well, let me put it this way. No, absolutely not. No, I don't think so. Commit to the position that it was never going to happen. I mean, this is just an email that you've written, but I can imagine how traumatic the experiences were to find out that he was cheating on you with three other girls. I mean, do you think this is the guy that could carry you into marriage?
I really don't think
definitely
so.
Not. Definitely not. Is it a loss to you then? If this guy could never give you what you wanted, is this a loss to you?
In the long run, I don't think it's a loss. I actually think it's beneficial for me in the long run, because I don't think it would be, it wouldn't be a good marriage to be married to someone that you can't even trust.
Nicola, we need to get away from this I think story. You got to marry the position. He's either the right person for you to carry you for the future, or the wrong. It can't be a thing, but maybe, but hold on, because what you're doing is you're convincing yourself that he's all pasta. He's not all pasta. He's not all pasta. Must I regurgitate the email that you've sent? He's not all pasta. Can we say that he was wrong for you?
He was wrong.
Good. Good. He was wrong for you. He could never carry you. He could never carry and give you the desired goal that you had. If you said to me, Hanan, all I want is just somebody to tick the box of marriage. Okay, maybe. But that's not what you said. You want somebody that shares the same values as you. Somebody that desires you. Somebody that's consistent and honest and transparent. And he was not that. And if this is what he showed you in the first couple of months of your relationship, can you imagine what would happen if he felt fully comfortable with you? And he found out exactly how to play the game with you. So you say, my point is, you say, oh my God, I feel rejected. Oh my God, you're not rejected. You escaped to the skin of your teeth. This was an absolute blessing that he disappeared. Because if he gave you an STI within the first couple of months, can you imagine how you would have damaged you at least on an emotional level moving or going forward and down the line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is a lesser cost. Imagine being married to this for the next 40 years, because I'm assuming that's the intention. You want to be married for the next 40 years, right? You don't want to get divorced in 3 months.
No.
Right. So this is not a rejection. This is an absolute miracle that has happened, and you've got to perceive it as that. You've got to see it as I escaped through the skin of my teeth. But I want to tell you one other thing that I need you to do. Second thing that I want you to be aware of is the way we deal with the loss is not by diving in and trying to figure it out, but rather by investing into other things that give us value. So I'll say it again. The way we deal with the loss is not by investing into things and trying to figure them out, is rather by investing into other things that give us value. So let me give you another analogy. If you invest into a Ponzi scheme and you've invested R1 million and you've lost it, so now you've lost R1 million, how do you feel?
You feel devastated.
You feel devastated, good. Yeah. Now imagine, so you've lost R1 million. So you could either go back into the same Ponzi scheme and lose another R1 million, or listen to this analogy, imagine you start investing into new, much more lucrative businesses that give you a return on investment. So now you invest into other businesses and you got R1 profit, R10 profit, R100 profit, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, $1 million, $10 million, $1 billion. Now you've got R1 billion in your bank account by investing into other businesses. When you have R1 billion into your bank account or in your bank account, how do you feel about the R1 million loss?
You don't really see it as a loss anymore because you've gotten so much more back.
Perfect. Perfect. Here's your R1 million loss. And yes, you've lost because you've invested time, energy, obviously the physical loss. There's no question about it. But the way you're going to feel differently about it is not by going back and investing more coins, energy, time, effort into him and what the relationship represented. Start focusing your coins, your energy, your time, your effort into other things that create value for you. So family, friends, new relationship whenever you're ready, diet, exercise, sleep, go back to the church or go to another church. But start investing your coins and start building up your bank account to the point that you have R1 billion. The moment you have R1 billion, what will happen naturally and magically is that the relationship with them will become less and less and less meaningful.
That's awesome. That's good advice. I mean, you know what?
It is.
I haven't heard Dr. Hanan get so like adamant with anyone for a long, long time, and I like this. He's like, stop with this "I think" nonsense. Like, stand up for yourself. God. Right.
I think it's because you want to believe that the person isn't as horrible as they seem. Maybe they're sick. Maybe something's wrong with them psychologically. But yeah, no, I think I cannot. Allow that kind of behavior. It's just awful.
It's nonsense. It's unacceptable. You must stop with that think. I mean, I'd also love to believe in fairy tales, but as an adult, we've got to realize that fairy tales are just fairy tales, and we've got to just get married to reality.
Yeah.
Period. Sure. He's a pig, and marry that. Thank God he didn't ride that one, for sure.
All right, Nicola, listen, thank
really,
you.
Really, stop with that thing.
Thank you very much. I love this. This is terrific. And thank you for bringing your story to us. I hope that Dr. Hanan has helped you with this. And certainly, it's going to make a difference for other people who are listening, who are in the same position.
Yeah.
Have an awesome week.
I think so. Thank you so, so much. You as well.
Okay.
Thank
Cheers,
you.
Nicola. Bye-bye.
Bye, Nicola.
Sure, Doc. Didn't take any prisoners today, huh?
No, yo, when people say think, it means they're on the fence. Nothing good happens on the fence. And I want to suggest to Nicola and anybody else that's going through this, re-watch this podcast, because there's a lot of valuable information there. Mm. My greatest fear, and unfortunately I see this with Nicola, she, people like Nicola in my practice. They hear it, but it goes in the one ear and out the other, and they're like, yeah, but he's really all pasta. So they keep on marrying the good and ignoring the bad. But keep on watching this and practice what I've said. It's going to help you.
I love it. All right, Doc, have an excellent week. We will see you next Monday.
Same to you. Right. Stay warm, guys. Nice to see you.
Cheers, Dr. Hanan Bushkin. And it's going to be okay. Well, what propels human advancement and how can you get a competitive advantage? On this week's episode of Leadership Books Unpacked, Manda Tsifularo and Ngobile Ngobo have discussed approaches. What is that? Is that yours, Leanne?
Not me this time.
That was me.
Oh, was it you, Madge? On this week's episode of Leadership Books Unpacked, Manda Tsifularo and Ngobile Ngobo have discussed approaches to getting an advantage in the digital world order. The conversation is anchored by Rethinking Competitive Advantage, New Rules for the Digital Age. It's a book by Ram Charan. You can listen to Leadership Books Unpacked wherever you get your podcast. It's proudly sponsored by Hollard Life Solutions and by Super League. Make sure you don't miss it. Coming up in a short while, Collectomania, among other things. Stick around. There's a whole lot of good stuff on the way. CliffCentral.com, Monday morning. CliffCentral.com.